Success Leaves Clues podcast with Robin Bailey and Al McDonald. Have you ever wondered what makes someone successful? What are they doing that's different? How do they achieve greatness? We believe that success leaves clues. In this series, we are interviewing very successful people from different walks of life to hear their stories. We'd like to remind our listeners that the views expressed in this podcast are those of our guests and not necessarily those shared by our hosts. Today's episode is sponsored by Life and Legacy Advisory Group. Discover our commitment to our clients. At Life and Legacy, building wealth, securing your family's future, giving back, and creating a lasting legacy are not just values, but a way of life. Let us guide you toward a future aligned with what matters most to you. We're also brought to you by Aria Benefits. If you're a business leader challenged with talent attraction, employee engagement, or supporting mental health, we can help. Use your benefits package as the key to unlock your workforce. Now here's your hosts, Robin Bailey and Al McDonald.
Welcome back to the Success Leaves Clues podcast. I'm your host, Robin Bailey, back at it again, my favorite day of the week, Podcast Friday. And joining me today is, I'm hoping he's going to get a little happier, my co-host and business partner, Al McDonald, because he hasn't been able to get out on his bike. And Al is very happy when he's out on his bike. Al, is this the weekend?
Well, I hope so, but that doesn't mean I'm still not happy. I'm happier when I'm on my bike, but I'm still happy. It's all good.
Thank you for the clarification. Yes, I could see meme images coming of Oscar the Grouch now for Al. So yes, let's leave those. Well, Al, today's episode is a very special one. We're welcoming back a guest who made a huge impact during your first appearance. We've become friends along the way, and I enjoy following her career. Danielle Charney is back with us, and she's not only a brilliant thinker in the world of leadership and talent, but she's also a true innovator, which we're going to see today. She's returning to the show to share something that she's been brewing since early in her career and is now coming to life in a very powerful way. This fall, she's launching a first-of-its-kind leadership experience, 100% peer-led emerging leaders lab. It's already seen amazing results in client pilot and promises to flip the traditional leadership development model on its head. This isn't about sitting through another training. It's about empowering emerging leaders to own their growth, co-deliver the program, and accelerate each other's leadership journey. It's especially relevant in today's fast-paced entrepreneurial environments where cultivating an ownership mindset is everything. Get ready to rethink what leadership development can be. Danielle, let's dive in. Thank you so much for joining us again.
Thank you. And yeah, you're hired. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, my rates are still pretty good. So yeah, there you go. Well, I thought where a great spot to start would be, you know, let's dig into what's broken or outdated in the traditional model. So I thought a perfect place to start is maybe you can tell us about the biggest flaws and how most companies are approaching leadership development today.
So thank you for having me on again. Most founders and CEOs probably know me as an advisor or a leadership coach for Mars as an executive in residence. But what they may not know about me is my career 20-something years back started in leadership development, designing and delivering leadership programs. And very early on, I got pretty disenchanted with the way we were doing it, the sage on the stage. I don't want to be the sage on the stage. And there was three fundamental flaws that I saw. The first one is that, you know, you look at the participant as an empty glass, and I'm here to fill the glass with all my knowledge. Reality is, participants come with their experiences, their skills, sometimes their baggage, where they have to unlearn things and empty that glass. But they are a very full glass that should be tapped into. The second sort of flaw of the sage on the stage really was that learners are considered kind of passive if it's the sage on the stage. Like, it's great entertainment, but I'm sitting there, I'm not in charge of my learning. In reality, learners, there's a huge opportunity for learners to not only design their own learning, choose the topic of their own learning, but drive their own learning. And lastly, I think the sage on the stage and where the flaw of traditional leadership development was the idea that it's a title. You send people who have a certain title to leadership development programs. And what I recommend for all my clients is, okay, do the top-down talent calibration, fine, find those people you consider should be going to the program, but do an open call to bring those other people up, define what high potential leaders look like, and do a call out and say, hey, pitch us. Because you will find those people who are motivated, who have the aptitude for leadership and should be part of the program. So those were the flaws. And what we saw in the 80s and 90s is we saw a lot of new ideas about how we learn. And those have sort of still today are the dominant ideas of how we learn till today. I'll leave you hanging with that. So what came about in that period was the idea of blended learning, and that we don't only learn through formal learning, we also learn through coaching and project-based learning and things like that. And that was actually around the time, the 90s, where I became a coach, because what coaching brought in is the idea that as a coachee, I set my agenda. And basically, as a coach, I'm there to take someone from current state to desired state. So they're driving their path, their journey, their learning, their awareness. The second model that came into place is the upside down classroom. Some people call it different things, but I call it the upside down classroom. And the idea that, you know, we don't need the sage on the stage. We can do our own learning. We can tap into reading, video, however we learn. And then when we come together, we're going to actually apply the learning and commit to the learning. And that the coming together is using the divergent thinking of the group to actually move us forward. So that was the idea of the upside down classroom. And I see it a lot in the classroom. Literally, my kids will learn before and then come into the classroom. And then lastly, and I think this is the most powerful model, although I want to tweak it, is the 70-20-10 model. The idea that 10% of our learning is really formal learning. That's really not the big part of how we learn. 20% is social learning, right? So when we're learning through LinkedIn forums, the YPO groups, the mastermind groups. And this is where peer-to-peer came in. And you can see the growth of peer-to-peer groups. And then 70% is you learn through experiences, right? Like I'm watching Al and he's a great sales guy. And I'm like, I'm learning through him and I'm riding along with him as he talks to clients. And so absolutely, we learn through experiences. So I would tweak this model to say that it's really about 60-40-10 from what I'm seeing. That peer-to-peer is just getting going and just has groundbreaking potential and will blow all the other models out of the water.
Well, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I like what you're saying, especially with the peer-to-peer. I mean, that's one of the reasons we're doing this podcast and having people like you, so that we're teasing out clues in this conversation and people are listening and going, oh my God, I want to learn more about this. You said something at the very beginning, and I know we're talking about learning, but I want to go the opposite way because you said something I think is really important, unlearning. And I think that's an important skill set for people to, and I'm thinking about myself, and I won't pick on anybody else except myself here, but you know, sometimes, especially when you're running the organization, you think you know everything. It has to be done this way. And I found as we've grown the company and we've brought on brilliant younger people, I had to put that ego away because I had this realization one day that, oh my gosh, like that way of doing things wasn't necessarily the right way or the most efficient way or the most productive way. And I've actually been learning new things from this younger cohort of people coming in. So how important is that to have that skill to be, yes, I'm willing to unlearn some, but maybe those, you called it baggage, that maybe it's 10 or 15 years of baggage. Like, what do you suggest to those people?
When I've had to unlearn things, it's, you know, surrounding myself with people who think differently from me really helps you unlearn through your different perspectives. I think another thing I've always done when I know I need to shift or I'm stuck and I need to unlearn some things is get a coach.
Good advice.
A coach or somebody you really trust will say, hey, I know you. You've said this is important. This is where you want to go. But this is the behavior I see you doing. This is the mindset. And that doesn't seem to be leading there. You seem frustrated. So they will sort of be honest about what they're seeing. And hopefully it sounds like you've had an aha with your younger cohort of employees. And sometimes we need someone to push us to shift. And some people can do assessment tools to gain self-awareness. It's how do you bubble up that self-awareness and then kind of urgency to change. That's usually what a coach will hold you accountable for. They'll find out like what really drives and motivates you. What are you trying to achieve?
I love your answer because I've done coaching before. I'm not currently doing it. I know Al is still working with his coach. But I would add to that, if you have a good business partner of 20 years and who also has become a friend and they know you very well, they'll pull you aside once in a while and say, hey, did you notice, you know, in a conversation, I know this is what you're about, but you said it this way and it might have come out in a different way. Hmm. So kudos to Al, because Al has done that for me before as well. So I agree. Surrounding yourself with those people is super beneficial. And again, Al and I were chatting about, we had a long drive in the car yesterday and we were chatting over lunch. And I just, 20 years later, we're very, very fortunate to deal with and be surrounded with really, really good people, not only our center of influence, friends like you, but clients. And again, I value that. I remember specifically Al and I were driving and he said, oh, I'm going to have a bit of a difficult conversation because he thought I might get offended by something he said. And I was so happy because it was something that I didn't see to deal, right? So having those people and a little bit of a coaching opportunity, I think is so beneficial. So I appreciate you sharing that.
Kudos to Al, because, well, first of all, it takes courage. It takes really caring about someone.
Oh, for sure.
And starting a conversation like that, saying this is going to be hard or whatever, or may I share something with you, is it really, I think, gets someone kind of like ready and maybe like their guard goes down because they realize it's tough having that conversation, but you do it with friendship and wanting someone to grow and move forward.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Daniil, maybe you can talk a little bit about what you've seen in terms of learning approaches that are helping leaders change behaviors and improve their performance quickly, maybe versus the past where things took longer to evolve.
Yeah, I started talking about really that 70-20-10, and I said it's really 60-40. Like the 40% is a peer-led learning, and that is starting to really take off in our mastermind groups, roundtables, forums. But what I want to talk about is a program that I've created that is 100% first of its kind peer-led learning, and how I got to that, right? Because I believe peer-led learning is a game changer. And when I was at Mars, I doubled down on setting up peer-led learning because we were seeing so much more impact in learning and engagement. Because when you're in a peer group, right, if we were all in a peer group, we're all small business owners, we're sharing our stories with each other that are relevant. We're in the same stage. We get it. The insights are so much more that we're getting. The trust that, you know what, if I do that, that might really work for my business. So there's just this trust, there's this relevancy that makes peer-to-peer learning, you know, the insights applicable, and people go away and apply and get so much more results. And that's why we expanded the peer-to-peer, because we realized that people are coming back, they were so engaged, and they were getting so much out of it, and they were applying the learning. And so that's why peer-to-peer is really special, because you are the expert in your own lived experience, basically. Right? It's not the sage on the stage. We don't need the sage on the stage. We are the experts in our lives. And we as small business owners in this thing, we can solve each other's problems. And that's why I believe in peer-to-peer. But what I want to announce today, and I'll talk more about it, is, like I said, the first of its kind. It's peer-led. It's a peer-led leadership lab. And I'm going to launch it in January. It's going to focus on high potential leaders, because as I said, leaders come in all shapes and sizes, and it's not about just title. It's going to be a cross-company cohort. And so I'm going to offer 15 seats across the startup ecosystem. And what you can expect to see if you put your participants in this program is you're going to see a huge difference in engagement. You're going to see obviously extend their time and their role. And we're mastering the habits of high performance leaders. So you're going to see their contribution go up. But I think you started off talking about this peer-to-peer programs. They create a culture of ownership, of accountability, and of high performance. And that's what makes them really, really special. Because you're not just learning leadership, you're doing leadership. Okay, so now I'll explain. What does that mean, right? So if you were to sit into my pilot, this is what you'd see. You'd see that the participants are actually leading the training, leading the topic. They are talking about how they are adopting habits. They are challenging each other. They are giving each other feedback, all the things you might expect a coach to do. And we end the session with them getting into pairs and saying, okay, what's your goal this month now that we've applied this learning? What's going to be your challenge? How are you going to mitigate that? And what action are you actually going to take? And that continues between the sessions where they are accountable to each other. But of course, this doesn't just happen. This is by design. I spend a half a day with them, teaching them the techniques of being a peer mentor and peer coach to each other. We sign peer-to-peer principles that we create together as a community. It always starts in person and then can go virtual. And so they have that sense of accountability to each other and sense that I'm responsible for my learning and I'm responsible for helping everyone else be successful. We also track habit adoption. So there's a bit of a leaderboard where people can see, hey, this is how so-and-so is progressing. This is what they're doing. And that encourages others in a really positive way versus a competitive way. So in a nutshell, peer-to-peer training and leadership training is about not just learning leadership, but doing it and leading it and leading yourself and leading others.
Danielle, it sounds like you've already gone down this path with a pilot. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So what have you found from that pilot? Have you already found some stuff that works really well, but maybe some other things that, oh, you know what, we've got to tweak that a little bit because we didn't get the results we expected? Is there something that you've, you know, discovered that maybe you didn't anticipate?
Good question. In terms of the results, and while this is the first sort of 100% peer-to-peer led, I've done peer-to-peer programs in corporates, so I sort of speak to that. But I've certainly seen the amount of participants sort of exceed our expectations in terms of their progression or creating their own opportunities in the company. So that mobility piece. The biggest impact of peer-to-peer is the accelerated learning and seeing how learners apply and just drive their learning, right? So when I've done traditional learning, it's sort of like you're constantly pushing and nudging and pushing. And so with peer-to-peer learning, if it's the right participants, you will see 100% of the participants have that culture that I talked about of ownership and accountability. So yeah, but you know, that being said, it's never perfect. Even in peer-to-peer, there's usually one person, maybe two, who are just not the right fit. They thought they were the right fit. You know, you spelled it out, but they're now in the learning and they're like, wow, this is drastically different. Like, Danielle is not going to be running after me, right? Like, so it is a very big mental shift if people are used to traditional learning. And ultimately, you have to have those hard conversations like you were talking about. I have to have a few hard conversations and say, think about whether this program is right for you, right?
Yeah, because I could see that, again, if this is a big shift for some people, that they, A, might be resistant, B, it's out of their comfort zone, right? They're not used to this type of learning. So have you been able to coach some people through this based on your experience? Like, have that hard conversation, but also maybe keep them going or redirect them, and then they end up being successful after all.
Oh, 100%. I've had quite a few more like technical leaders who, when they realize that they are actually going to be teaching things to others, they absolutely freeze. And I let them know that my job is to make them successful, and I give them all the tools. So the content is there. The format is there. I will run the session through with them. I have an app called Yoodly where they run through, they get some feedback. You know, this was a little too monotone. Mm. This wasn't clear, et cetera. And then I say, hey, I'm available for another one or another one before. Like, I want them to feel super successful. Every single time that has happened, they have finished it and gone, oh my God, I can't believe I did that, first of all. So it's really reaffirmed to them, yes, that they can present their ideas and influence others. It's like, oh, that really opens up that they can actually present to clients, present to the executives, right? Because they may have never, ever done that. And so, yeah, you absolutely have to support because it is a big difference for them.
Daniil, you mentioned the app. So that is a great segue for me because we're recording. This episode will be out in June, of course, and Toronto Tech Week is happening at the end of June. And I know you're very well known in startup space and
looking forward.
You mentioned Mars. Mm-hmm. And by the way, Daniil, if anyone does not know Daniil at this point, I mean, where are you? But if you get to know her, wow, she is a great person to know because she is a super connector. Some of the guests that you've seen on our podcast are a result of introductions. Daniil pulling me aside and say, hey, you're going to meet this person. So thank you for that. But I was hoping we could pick your brain about some of the cool tools or tech you're seeing in leadership development today, because I know you're always at the forefront of that stuff.
Yeah, there are so many. I'm going to really mention one.
Okay.
I'll mention a couple like that I'm using. Okay, first of all, I'll mention a few that I'm using. Okay, so Yodlee is a great app if you're like getting ready for interviews, for example. So that's a great app, or even presentations. The one I want to talk about, because I've been, you know, talking to this founder and just so impressed with this product, and it's on topic, is Monarch. Monarch is an AI-powered leadership training platform where you can go on and really like learn about being a leader and take assessments and some of the things we're used to. But on top of it, it has a team tool that will help you with your one-on-one meetings and to make them so much more valuable. And we spend so much time in one-on-one meetings. We want to make those more valuable. It has all this historical data because it's tracking your one-on-one meetings. So when you get to your quarterlies or your annual sit-downs, it's like a piece of cake because it can just serve you up what you should be covering or what it has learned through those meetings. But what I really wanted to talk about is where I think this is going. Like in 5 years, we are going to have an AI coach and it is going to help us become 1% better every day as leaders. So just like Facebook seems to know everything about me and keeps serving me up this content, this thing is following you everywhere. So if you think that's spooky, I think that's awesome because it's going to know me better than I know myself. And it's going to know my strengths, my derailers. It's going to know my goals, but it's going to be everywhere, right? It's going to be in my emails and my notes. So it's going to say like, hey, Daniil, you know, last month in employee meetings, there was a consistent theme here about this issue of leaves of absence. Like, what are we going to do about this? Let's brainstorm, right? Or it's going to say, hey, Daniil, you know, that last meeting that you had with Robin and Al, like, you weren't very clear, and that's why that decision didn't get made. Should we watch the tapes and figure out what happened there? Or do you want to do a do-over? Do you want to do a role play right now? Or do you want this micro learning on influencing? That's what it's going to be. It's going to be very, like, it's going to know you, and it's going to have lots of data on you. So it's going to have an always-on dashboard for you. You don't have to think, what do the employees think of that last retreat I did? It's going to be there. It's going to be how employees are feeling today, right? And how they're feeling in your meetings. You're just going to know this, even if you don't want to know it. And then I am seeing tools that after the fact, you get some feedback or they say, these are the top themes that came out, or these are the top three things that your customer's saying. But what I want is it, I want to get feedback in the moment. So I'm in the employee meeting and it's saying, wow, you're taking 70% of the airspace here, right? Or it's saying, your tone is a bit monotone, like step it up, Daniil. You said you wanted to have more energy, right? And so I already see that in apps like Spiky AI, which is an app for salespeople. So I think the future of being in a leadership position and being 1% better every day is just so exciting. And like, I can't wait. In fact, I should probably start a startup today. I'm probably just wasting my time right now.
Well, I'm so on board with AI and coaching and all those types of things. But what you said is really funny because, you know, Facebook or Instagram, they all seem to know you quite well, because I was telling Al, I had planned a trip. It was somewhere that was cut off the radar. And all of a sudden, Instagram is showing me beautiful pictures of all the cities. And I'm like, isn't that amazing? And then Al and I, again, we were in the car yesterday. We were chatting about our conversations we have with AI. And sometimes they become, you know, you're sitting by yourself having this conversation, you end up laughing and you're like, oh my God, have I turned into a weirdo? But I think to your point, we're going down that road of having this coach, you know, in your pocket that knows you really well, knows how you think and can point out, again, the value I've always seen in coaching is helping you see around those corners that you maybe can't see around. And again, I'm excited about where AI is going to, as long as we don't turn into, you know, back in the day, the Terminator movies and go down that path. That I'm not a big fan of. But otherwise, if we can use it to improve and get better, I'm very excited as well.
Yeah, 100%. What about you, Elle? Are you excited?
Well, as I said before, I can see people, myself included, I'm not going to lie, it's definitely going to get you out of your comfort zone, right? Because to all the points you said about, hey, I'm getting immediate feedback on my meeting right now. And it's everyone thinks, oh, well, I'm really good at that. And then suddenly you get some feedback immediately that says, hey, you know what? Here's a way that you could improve. Obviously, you have to be willing to be open to that. And I think there's lots of people that, again, it'll get them out of their comfort zone. It's going to be interesting to see, I think, who can adapt to this and who is going to be resistant to this, because I'm sure there will be. Not so different from, hey, guess what? When the computer showed up, you know, there's lots of people who said, oh, that's not for me. I'm good at paper and pencil. Internet? Oh, no. What do I need the internet for, right? But technology just keeps moving faster and faster. So people have to adapt.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, I've always believed feedback is a gift, even if it's what you didn't want to hear. But most people I speak to who, even people are hesitant to get feedback, they will give me stories and say, I wish that person had given me that feedback because I would have done things differently.
Right.
So feedback is kind. It really is kind.
It can be, but it can also be unkind, depending on how it's delivered, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Hey, so can you maybe talk a little bit about, for anyone who's listening today and they say, oh, well, this sounds very interesting. I haven't thought of this before. This sounds like a whole new approach. Hey, I want to go down this road. What's the first steps they should take?
Well, happy for people to follow me on LinkedIn, because I'm always, every Sunday, I can't help myself, I'm delving into these topics and writing more. So if you want to follow me on LinkedIn, and if you want to be part of this first peer-led leadership lab, connect with me on LinkedIn, or you have some questions about it, happy to talk about it. I've just started talking about it like just this week, and I've already gotten some people kind of interested in maybe being certified, because this is a new approach. This changes the way we learn, and it changes the impact of learning.
Danielle, always such a pleasure to speak with you. I love running into you at conferences. It's just always so good to hang around with you. You've got great energy. You've always got something great going on. And you know everybody, which I love, because I'm going to ask you some questions about that after we stop recording, because I know you know everybody. So hopefully we can get some more introductions, because this has been great so far. That does it for today's episode. Do yourself a favor, follow Danielle on LinkedIn. You will enjoy seeing her posts, because I'm on Sundays as well, so I get to see all that good stuff. We really enjoyed this conversation. As always, we hope you did too. If you have any questions for Al or myself, please feel free to give us a call and rejoin the conversation on LinkedIn. We saw it here again. Success leaves clues. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.